At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Hey, little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Odyssey celebrates back-to-school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 1H 2026.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Well, what we had to do to even it is, when it was 10-7, is how did we make sure that Deshaun and Shadur got, say it was, I don't know, with the 2 minute and everything else, let's say they got about 30 reps apiece, where Dylan would get like 15, and where we'd get Talen, say, about 6 or 7. I mean, that's what we were kind of thinking.
Yeah,
so that means they had to get with some of the twos. No, it's not easy, hosting you with the twos, but otherwise, I'd rather have the reps and live with the disruption.
Held our own against the Buffalo Bills, buddy boy. We chanted it in the first segment, and you can hear that with the rewind feature on the free Odyssey app. It's powered by Integrated Restoration, local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, coming up at 8:20 this morning. Your chance to win the VIP experience to the Fan 15 coming up at 9. Nathan Zgura at 9:01. You have your chance to call in, coming in hot. Please keep your comments within the boundaries of good taste. We went from 2 weeks ago, one of the worst coming in hots we've ever had, to the point where anytime we have a bad coming in hot, Lyman goes, should we keep it going? I go, you're the one who does it when I'm not here. And then we had one of the best coming in hots.
Great bounce back.
It was. It was a tremendous bounce back. And so I leave it up to everybody else. You've had a week. Let's see if we can make it two great weeks in a row with coming in hot.
A lot of people got in last week.
My dad was laughing at the guy who called in and said, you could have just used me as the pitcher's mound. Which I don't like. I'm like, Dad, you don't like this. You get bothered by some of the things that people say. Don't listen to the segment. He goes, I got to listen. Okay. And he liked the guy who said you could just use me as the mound. So whoever made it, because, you know, we use this as a, you know, a bathroom stall situation where you go in the middle one and there's holes on each side.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we like to do coming in hot. I don't want to know. This is supposed to be anonymous. Whoever you are out there, you did good work. Daryl coming up in less than 20. If Shadur had no real shot, it's his fault, no one else's. And people need to accept that. Here's Jonathan Peterlin and Nick Wilson yesterday, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. you feel like it's been fair?
I need a better definition of the word fair. Do I feel like Shedeur Sanders ever had a real shot at that? That answer is no. Do I feel like Haslam and the front office wanted it to be Deshaun Watson? That answer is yes. Do I feel like Todd Monken, probably the idea that he got hired was with the idea that when they answered and had all those questionnaires of like, hey, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about this guy? He probably answered the part about Deshaun Watson with, yeah, I think I can get something out of him. Yeah, I do. Now, do I think that Shedeur could have done better to maybe insert himself in this a little bit stronger? Sure. That's obviously there on the table. But yeah, I think it was always going to get to this spot with Deshaun Watson starting week one. And that's why none of this has come as a surprise. The only surprise out of this is that they've kept the charade going as long as they have right now.
I think it is fair to say Todd Monken wanted Deshaun to start this whole time. I also think Deshaun had a pretty relatively low bar to clear. Just look functional in the singular preseason game and you're going to be the face of the franchise again, little buckaroo. I also don't think the competition has been unfair. Like, I think if Shedeur had come out and whatever part of cadence or operation, if he had been able to muster that, I think he would be the starting quarterback right now.
You, me, and Jason Lloyd are never going to be able to convince people that it's not Jimmy who wants Deshaun Watson to start, are we? It's never going to happen.
No, people have made up their mind.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I mean, you agree with me on the whole, like, we're trying to sell a stadium here in PSLs, and they're not going to want to play a guy that people called in yesterday and said they're going to drive and spend their money and park and go through all the rigmarole to go to the stadium to boo him in the third quarter.
Yeah, that's what ownership wants. They can't
all right,
wait.
I'm just making sure. Because they spent $40 million, even though they're going to spend over $2 billion.
And knowing that that opener, that'll be, even though it won't be nationally televised, Deshaun Watson comes out there, it is going to be some commentaries nationally, maybe even pregame, and it's going to be, hey, do we remember what he's been accused of? Like, that's going to happen again, and that's what they think in the afternoon. That's what ownership wants.
And none of us have faith that he's going to be able to turn it back on again. It's been 6 years. So I don't think he's clinging to anything, but either way, all right? So I'll keep bringing it up, even though I've given up on actually convincing him. So I heard that from Jonathan and Nick yesterday, and listen, I've been a little bit critical. I think that they've had some interviews, and there's been some chances where they might have taken some answers and turned them into answers they wanted to hear. And yeah, my thought to that was, no, I don't know anybody except for Deshaun Watson and maybe some teammates who are really jazzed up about him starting the season, because I think they're going to make that decision. But for all the reasons that we specify all the time, I mean, who are people more excited about? Who are people more excited to talk about? Who are people more excited to have fights over?
I don't know. Maybe yesterday it's Taylen Green now.
Well, maybe. Okay, but let's leave it to these two, the guys who actually have a chance to start. You go into this situation. You have a massive fan base. People buy your jersey. It's not always been peaches and cream. Some of it has been absolutely toxic. But it ain't been anywhere near as bad as the other guy. You had an off season. You're the one who was healthy. You're the one who got to work. You're the one who's been here. I know Deshaun has been here too. This is the one off season he has. But you're the one who had a relationship, who had all of it. Like, guys, you can claim conspiracy. You can do anything you need to do to try to make yourself feel better. But you know the truth when you go to bed at night. This has been as fair as possible, and Shedeur Sanders had every chance to take this job. Yes, I do believe that there are such a thing as preconceived notions, but I think they wanted him to take the job, and if he hasn't taken the job yet, it's on him. You're a professional football player. If you can't do it, it's the same thing they say. Why ain't I doing this? Why ain't I doing that? Why can't I get this? Why can't I get that? I don't know. Look at yourself in the mirror. You're a player that coaches don't want. Be a player that coaches want. Be a player that coaches want to coach. Not saying that Shedeur ain't one of those guys. I'm just using examples of people who are upset about guys not being able to play, themselves not being able to play. And when it comes to Shedeur, there are so many more positive conversations about him. Media-wise, NFL-wise, all the other things. There are so many more positive conversations about him than have ever been in his time in Cleveland about Deshaun Watson. The fan base, I'm willing to say 90% wanted Shador Sanders to take this job, and the other 10% don't think either of them are very good and are just ready to move on to 2027. Maybe 1% really wanted Deshaun Watson to take the job. I'll give you 1%. It's there. And also, you'll probably end up playing the majority of the season, because I don't know anybody who has a lot of faith that Deshaun Watson's going to be able to turn it on. But you didn't win the job, or it looks like you're not going to win the job. It isn't settled yet, but it looks like you're not going to win the job. We looked at Stefanski. We called it boobery. We called it politics. We called it a lot of different things. Can't blame it on Kevin anymore. You got a new coach, fresh perspective, different offense, all those things. It can't all be a conspiracy. It can't all be everybody's conspiring against him. Can't be that. You had your chance. If you don't seize that opportunity, you might need a little bit more seasoning, like a lot of guys who were drafted day three.
Now, the famous example is 2012, the Seattle Seahawks. They had incumbent quarterback Tavares Jackson. They had signed Matt Flynn in free agency. And then they drafted somebody in the third round in Russell Wilson, which I think even at the time, there were people that thought even Russ was maybe overdrafted just because they couldn't get over his size. And
I know that ex-wife of his was excited.
Right, so... he ends up coming into camp, and guys, he was undeniable. It was undeniable. There was no, hey, we invested in this free agent quarterback, and oh, Tavares Jackson was here. No, it didn't matter because he was undeniable. And the reality is Shador has not been undeniable, and that's what you have to be able to seize hold. And actually, I don't even think he had to be undeniable. He just had to be really good. And he hasn't been really good. So... short of all those other things, like, yeah, he's battling it out with a quarterback we all think is probably going to get replaced fairly early on in the season. He's still going to get an opportunity. I ask this all the time. For all the, quote, sabotage, which Shador's camp puts out that term all the time, they feel like he was sabotaged last year. Then they said, well, we're not saying sabotage this year, and now they're saying sabotaged again, whether it's Jerry Jeudy dropping balls or
so how many coaches
whatever.
Do we have to go through before he's no longer sabotaged?
Well, that's what I mean. And now he got 7 games last year. He's going to get more games this year. That's a dream come true for a fifth round.
For any guy drafted day three, yes.
That's a dream come true. Yes. You should thank your lucky stars. You should say, we have been blessed beyond belief to have this opportunity. But because in their head, Mel Kiper once said he was the top quarterback on the board, they are going to cling to that forever as if it was the birthright for Shador Sanders to get drafted at the top of the first round. Never mind the fact that every report that's ever come out was he sabotaged himself. Him and his camp sabotaged himself in the draft process. They only wanted to go certain places. They couldn't answer certain questions. He turned people off that came and talked to him. That is a reality because he fell to the fifth round. That's how I know it's a reality. And now he's got to try to make up for that missed, squandered opportunity. And he's trying. I'm not even going to say he's failed to do it, because I think they're going to put the football in his hands eventually, and he's going to get a chance to do it.
I think he'll be able to start in September.
And he's going to have an offensive line newly rebuilt, and by then, by the way, they looked good yesterday, that hopefully will have gelled by then. He might even actually have a running game to go. And now he's got weapons. Guys, Shador has not been wronged. He's been blessed. That's the term you should be looking for. Everybody hasn't been sabotaged. He's been blessed. And he's going to be blessed with the opportunity because he's in Cleveland and nowhere else to actually get a chance to quarterback for the Browns. This would not have happened in almost 30 other cities in the NFL. It's happening in Cleveland. You should thank your lucky stars.
216-474-0092. Do you think Daryl agrees with you?
Yes, I do.
Because I, you know, this is an organization that has played a player before.
Because he has a brain. He should agree with
because
you.
Well, that's Daryl. They're not playing Daryl. If we're going to blame it on organization and even ownership, this is a team that has played a player before because the fans wanted to see him. Over a guy who was doing better. Like, that's that track record. If we wanted to say we're getting involved, I just gave you every other reason why you would just play Shador Sanders. Everybody in the world, every other reason why you would just play Shador Sanders. It can't just be because of $40 million this year. That's nothing to them. If he's not ready, he's not ready. And we need to accept the reality of that if he's not ready. Ken Carman, Anthony Lyman, Daryl Ryder, 5 away on the Fan.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Odyssey celebrates back-to-school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla Speed Test. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H 2026.
God, was that a lot of fun. Holy shit. Was that fun to compete against someone else? Their guys, our guys, got a lot of respect for the Bills, and it got a little edgy, but not over the top. And that's exactly what you're looking for. Guys want to compete, right? Got a lot of pride in the way they perform. And I thought our guys, I can only speak to one side, obviously the field I was on, but it was awesome. And commend the Bills and our guys for, like I said, taking it to the line, but not going over the line.
God's voice is hanging in there. But it's starting to show a little wear and tear.
I think that's going to be that way every day.
I think you're right. That's what he had to say about joint practice with the Buffalo Bills. A little edgy, beep within the first 10 words. So, boy, he enjoyed it. That's really good. And a little edgy, and that's what you want without taking it over the line. And then you can take it over the line tomorrow as long as you don't get caught and get a 15-yard penalty. Welcome back to Basket of Phelps. Phelps, Baskin, Menigan behind the glass. 216-474-0092, number to join us. Riley Tyner will take your phone calls there. I love training camp because people are optimistic. You hear nothing but optimism in Todd's voice when he's talking about his team, his players, his quarterbacks, and all that stuff, Andy. We have to obviously see it on the field, but going up against another team, his surprise about looking like they belonged still kind of gets to me a little bit. Not quite sure about that one. But we'll see, right? That we'll see, I think, is where this thing stands right now.
I got asked a question this morning. I just got asked a question this morning on another station. And they said, how did you guys even get to this point?
Ding!
Why is there even a competition going on right now? Why wouldn't they just come out and say Deshaun Watson's the starting quarterback? Or Shador Sanders.
And did you say, and we've been saying the same thing for some time?
Yeah, I just said you're in a situation where you've got a quarterback that's coming back from not playing for the last 2 years, not to mention all the stuff that was going on the side, right? Which didn't help anything and didn't help his growth when he couldn't play, he's suspended, or he's hurt. He's got all these other things that are going on. And now you've got another quarterback where fans want to sit here and argue the fact that he should have been the number one or number two quarterback selected in his draft. But he ends up going to the fifth round where every team passed on him. And maybe the front office is saying, you know what, maybe we should have given this guy more of a chance, right? And so you come in, you're Todd Monken, you're a brand-new head coach, you want to make sure that you're doing things, I think, right. I still think that Todd, at this point, has to kind of wonder, should I just have made Deshaun the starting quarterback when this whole thing started? I'm telling you, I think everyone would have flipped out. I think he handled this completely right. I don't think there's, He knew at one point.
Can we wait until game one that counts to make that call?
No, but it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter who the starting quarterback is. I still think he handled this the right way. You give Shador every option. And that's what they've done.
Well, you weren't in yesterday. We kicked it around, and I said, to me, what he's doing, and I don't know that you have to do it, is he's silencing anybody who would complain about the way this quarterback competition went. And whether,
that's a good way to look at it. Whether that's
valid or not, though, Andy, and it shouldn't matter. I mean, who cares if people didn't like that Shador didn't get first-team reps last year? Kevin Stefanski was trying to get his team ready to play football games.
Who cared? Shador Sanders fans cared.
Okay,
they were loud.
But that's great. But what it didn't do was help your team very much, you know, with the other guys. If your quarterback was getting, whoever your starter is going to be, was getting all the first-team reps now, you would think it would put your offense in a better position to succeed once you get into the start of the regular season in mid-September. And that's the one thing I just keep scratching my head over. It's like, you got a lot of moving parts here that have to get on the same page now in less than a month. And it might not be a bad idea to start really polishing that up. I would assume we're going to hear something on Monday, if not before, about who the starting quarterback's going to be. And then whoever it is, whichever guy it is, fine. You know, since I don't think there has been a standout in training camp, and we'll find out. Maybe tomorrow, you know, Shador looks great, or Deshaun looks great, or what, one of them looks awful, whatever. We should find out soon enough. And then you go. And then you get it ready, and you put it on the football field against Jacksonville. But I think it's been odd the way it's gone down. And if he's done it because he doesn't really have a true feeling as to who the starter is going to be, well, then that means they don't really have one, in my estimation.
Fair.
And
very fair.
And if he's done it just to silence critics, then I don't know that he did his team a service. So we'll see. We'll figure it out. And then we'll go from there.
I there is more to it, though. I think, like, Todd's got to make impressions in the locker room, not based on whether guys like him or not. It's about respect. It's a long season. And you don't want to be the coach that's sitting here that's lost the locker room because you did something silly that you didn't really have to do during preseason with the quarterbacks to make a statement. And you know, I like the fact that Todd said the other day, what do I care? I'm getting a chance. I'm a little bit older in the league to be a head coach, and I'm basically going to, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it my way, which is great. I hope that's true. I hope it's true.
Todd was asked yesterday afterwards, will the starters play against the Bills in the game coming up on Saturday? Here's what he had to say.
I don't anticipate seeing our older ones with that. I do see some of our younger players. I anticipate our younger players playing Saturday night.
So Concepcion in Boston.
I'll just say anticipate some of our younger players playing Saturday night.
Keyword there might be some.
Yeah.
If I'm Todd right now, I don't. As much as, you know, Concepcion and Boston need reps, and, you know, Samson and everybody else, boy, you don't want to get one of those guys dinged up. We're still waiting to hear about Alex Wright.
Yeah.
You know, they've been looking to add another defensive end all training camp long. And now what if your starter goes down? We'll find out in here soon enough. Dan was out at practice yesterday.
Yeah.
And I got two texts. And they were about two of my favorite quarterbacks.
You got to feed the right information to the right person.
Well, you did, pal. You did.
So the biggest takeaways that came out of camp is that when you see Deshaun Watson get under center, you see all of the motion, you see pre-snap, you see all of that kind of stuff that takes place.
In other words, it looked like an NFL team running offensive sets.
When Shador gets under center, you see very little pre-snap motion. You see very little movement. You see very little any of that kind of stuff. I can tell you, Deshaun Watson, when it says hike, there are times where I don't think Deshaun Watson knows where the ball is going when he throws it.
You mean when it leaves his hand?
It leaves his hand.
Okay.
He knows where it's supposed to go, but you don't know where it's going.
Exactly.
Okay.
I wonder how much that shoulder is still a problem. And we're not going to hear that or say that out loud at any point. But I wonder how much that shoulder is, because he will make a really good throw that will shock you. and it will then immediately be followed by a throw or two that is either dirted or completely overthrown. But he's doing all the stuff beforehand.
That's not what Dan texted me about.
Well, I figured Browns fans didn't want to hear totally about Josh Allen being really tall and big and slicing the Browns defense to shreds, and that Talon Green is incredibly tall when you see him in person.
There you go. Now I feel better. Thank you.
That's all you wanted to hear.
That's all I wanted to hear.
I figured I'd
Talon Green is tall. Good. Sold. Let's go.
I figured I'd do the Jeff Phelps thing where I get to the point.
All right. What did Shador look like when he was running the offense?
So Shador with the offense, again, there's not a lot of pre-snap motion. There's not a lot of that stuff going on. But it is definitely he takes a couple steps back and gets the ball out. And you can tell that they've been harping on him to get the ball out faster. To the point where you could hear the Bills bench saying, here comes Captain Checkdown.
They would actually say that?
Uh-huh. You would hear that from the bench.
Does that title include a cape?
Here comes the check. Well, I don't know, because the guy on the other side definitely is wearing a cape when he plays quarterback. And that's Josh Allen. It's watching Josh Allen play quarterback and watching these guys play quarterback, it's two different sports. It's nuts watching Josh Allen play quarterback. He hit a lot of killer throws against the Browns defense, and I don't think that the Browns defense is going to be bad or anything because of it. I just think Josh Allen's awesome. Like, just watching him, and you're just like, wow, you process really fast, and the ball comes out with conviction really fast, not to mention you're mobile.
I'm not going to say a word.
But, yeah.
The horse is already dead.
As I said, you could hear, and I was standing right there on the side with the Browns offense on it, and you could hear the Bills defense saying, here comes the checkdowns, here come the checkdowns. Every time Shador would hit,
that's not good.
Hit the field.
Well, we'll see. You know, I hate to say that, and I'm sure the Bills had much delight in giving Shador grief, but that's a we'll see. Preseason game coming up tomorrow. Shador will get the start. He'll play the first half, and then after that, Deshaun Watson, and then hopefully after that, whatever happens in the fourth quarter, hopefully. Either the next time he meets with the media, which would probably be Sunday on a Zoom call, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he announces something, or Monday. I mean, it's got to happen sooner rather than later. I would think he doesn't have anything more that he needs to see, Andy, when he's already said that Talon Green will be playing at least portions of the final preseason game. My guess is we see Dylan Gabriel and we see Talon Green in that third one. So there's nothing more that he would see from Deshaun or Shador, which means, all right, pick one. Let's go. I keep saying that about this. Let's go.
I think
because it's time to do it.
Do you think, based on what you watched yesterday, or maybe you tell us after the break, but after what you watched yesterday, do you think he knows who his quarterback is?
I think he knows who his quarterback is.
And that's number four.
Which is only going to further annoy me that we are in the midst of this competition that seems utterly meaningless when your head coach, you can tell by the amount on the guy's plates who Todd Monken believes that starting quarterback of this team is.
And that's also not based on cash, right? Like, as I've said, I just think the front office wanted to give Deshaun every opportunity to win the job too, based on return on investment. I know Jeff and I disagree a little bit on that.
If cash has anything to do with this argument, then this team is never going to succeed.
Well, but that happens.
Agreed.
But that also happens at other positions, too. Like, let's just say you get a really hot wide receiver in here that you brought in as a free agent, and you drafted somebody. The guy who got drafted is always going to get the first priority. And that's return on investment.
If cash has anything to do with this argument, this team will never succeed.
Agreed. Shador starts tomorrow. What do they need to see? What did they see yesterday? We'll hear Bunkin's thoughts on that. I'd love your thoughts on it, too. 216-474-0092. Chris Easterling, who covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal, will be joining us at 11:20. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Odyssey celebrates back-to-school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla Speed Test. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data 1H 2026.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
It's a off Friday on Afternoon Drive.
Do I feel like Shador Sanders ever had a real shot at that? That answer is no. Do I feel like Haslam and the front office wanted it to be Deshaun Watson? That answer is yes. Do I think that Shador could have done better to maybe insert himself in this a little bit stronger? Sure.
It's bad enough that you're going to go out there, that you built an entire offseason around making a team better, and then took out another opportunity to put Deshaun Watson on that field. If you make him captain, that is needless spitting in the face of Cleveland Browns fans. Do better. You can start him. You don't have to make him captain. And these fans deserve a hell of a lot more than you saying the captaincy of the Cleveland Browns is a freaking joke. Hey, Mr. Escobar, I just want to know, I found your cocaine. Here, please take it back. That's a wonderful idea, Nick. Here's a mention.
Pablo Pescobar fiasco that's happened at Penn State. I did not understand. Not a cocaine guy. I'm pretty sure that's obvious to everybody that listens. I didn't realize that cocaine today is the same price as cocaine in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
Where's the inflation on cocaine? Yeah.
God, was that a lot of fun. Holy
It's the Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin on Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. For the next 5 hours, we are serving at your pleasure. We have a modicum of Gardo's Rockies to talk. We do have a little more reaction to the Cavs' big week, or at least a big last 48 hours there. And we do got to get you ready for Browns Bills in Cleveland to boo or not to boo. That is the question that opened, courtesy of Meredith Kane on the board. Yes. Hi, Meredith. Good to see you there. We got Jake Merriman on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel and producing today. As always, follow the show all 5 hours long. 92.3 The Fan on the radio. That's a listening device, kids. And the free Odyssey app. Did I mention it's free? And 92.3 The Fan's YouTube channel. You can watch us all 5 hours long. Of course, make sure to subscribe to 92.3 The Fan's YouTube channel. Ring that bell, except you, Cornlito. Suck it, Cornlito. And like our videos, we desperately need to be liked by you. Specifically, well, okay, really on Spotify. Wherever you listen to us, just like whatever platform you're listening on. You can't like us on radio, but you can like us on radio.
Give like a big thumbs up to your radio.
Yeah, actually do that right now.
Yeah, everyone, big thumbs up.
Yeah, or
A middle finger. Like, you know what, honestly?
Yeah,
we take all feedback on this show. We don't just listen to the nice things said about us.
We're teaching Charlotte thumbs up, thumbs down, and everything, and it's actually kind of killing me. Yeah. I made her a smoothie this morning, and the first sip, she goes, oh, thumbs up, and I'm like, I killed it. This is great. And then she actually got into, like, the heart of the smoothie, and then she turned around, and she goes, thumbs down, Dad.
That's rough.
Thumbs down. I said, oh, no.
Now, did you chastise her for flip-flopping?
No. Honey, we don't do that in this house.
Honey, us Peterlins. We have an opinion and we stick to
it. That's right. No budging off of that. You like that smoothie, you're going to stay liking that smoothie.
There's no benefit of new information around these parts up in no so.
You stay stubborn with what you initially thought.
And we got Mackenzie Flume, Flume Dog Millionaire on the 2020s there. But hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How's it going today? I see you got a Band-Aid on your finger. What's going on there?
So I love my family. And I like to say that before I say things that vex me beyond all get out.
Yeah.
Somebody left the dog lead out in the middle of the very high brush we have because they were lazy. And when I went to pick it up, I sliced the living crap out of my middle finger. And then my kids, I don't know if anybody else has this, my kids, and I say that, they're going to be 16 and they're going to be 13. So they're teenagers. They've used every single Band-Aid in the house.
Oh, yeah. Band-Aids were low-key expensive.
Especially when you go through a box of 200 in like a week.
Yeah, Band-Aids should not be that expensive. Now, I pay a little bit more for the ones with the princesses on it.
Of course you do.
Well, we're still trying to sell it. You know what I mean?
Oh, I didn't know if you just like wearing, having a princess there.
Well, I do personally, but yeah.
It's a style thing.
Char won't put it on unless it has a princess.
That's fair.
And so that's really tough for us. Just wildly expensive Band-Aids.
Yeah, wait till they start to realize that they can take a Band-Aid off and then put it back on, put a new one on. My kids, like, they'll have a paper cut and they'll go through like four Band-Aids because they're sneaky like that. I'm like, you didn't need four Band-Aids on that.
Well, do they just put Band-Aids in random spots? Because that's what my kid does at this point. She doesn't need the Band-Aid. She just likes how the Band-Aids look.
Yeah, Izzy, jokingly, I'm fairly sure, said the other day she had a Band-Aid on a spot that I was like, oh, what'd you get cut? And she's like, I don't have one. I'm doing it for sympathy. And so she basically wasted a Band-Aid, the last Band-Aid in the house, come to find out 3 days later. For a bit. And that made me a very proud father.
I mean, Nelly made it as a fashion choice for how many years, right?
That's true.
I guess it plays.
And by the way...
And then cheaper, and then obviously it comes out when you're done.
That's what I was going to say. The Band-Aid on the face is cheaper than the teardrop tattoo on the face.
And that one stays forever, obviously. Yeah. Unless you get some work done. You know.
You can have it removed, but that has to hurt like absolute hell.
Oh, yeah, that'd be uncomfortable.
So, we do have the preseason game number 2 coming up in Cleveland tomorrow. And... there's no way of knowing. We could put out a Twitter poll about this, but there's no real way to know about this. I would love to be able to just text every person that is planning to go to the game tomorrow and just ask, are you going to cheer Shador or boo Deshaun? Because I will tell you, I've heard a lot of people.
You'll get to accomplish both, by the way.
You can do both. Actually, that's maybe the better part. Are you going there more for cheering?
That's it. That's got to be the question. Because if you were to ask me which one am I going to do, it's like, no, that's not the... And I'm not going to the game. But if I was going to the game, both things would be occurring.
That's interesting. I don't think I'll ever boo Deshaun again.
I would boo him like crazy. It's 4 years of our life. This is not anything... People always think it's all about off-field stuff. It's really not, guys. It's specifically on the field is where I have a massive grudge. I got a grudge off-field. Too. Let's not bypass that. But like on the field.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're saying that. That's such an unpopular opinion.
I have been dubbed the biggest hater of Deshaun Watson on the station.
Yeah.
Which we need to scream louder if we possibly could.
Could we get that going?
Yeah. Keep that trend going. I don't hate identified as that.
Does that make the person who labeled you that as the biggest Deshaun apologist on the station?
Well, it doesn't make him not that. You know what I mean? And so we'll let the jury reside. There
being pro Deshaun Watson in 2026,
it's a wild move.
I mean,
he was pro Deshaun Watson in 2021, so might as well.
But hey, Shador fans were mean to me online.
You get to boo Deshaun Watson and you get to feel good about it if you want to, because this has been 4 years of our life that he has sucked out of us. And the reason why you have bad football, the reason why you went through 8 wins over the previous 2 years, is at the hands of Deshaun Watson and the trade and the fallout and everything that came of that.
Listen, I just want to dwell on this for just a moment here.
I understand not believing in Shador's talent. He's a fifth-round pick. All the little things that people like to throw at him. I get it. I see it different. I like the kid's playmaking ability. I'm hopeful if he plays this year, or rather when he plays, that he looks really good, because that's better than some magical dream tour that might happen next April. And I understand getting behind the idea that the Browns themselves think, well, Deshaun's here, we might as well play him. I don't understand being bullied into supporting Deshaun Watson by Shador's fan base. That feels, and there's one guy on this station who's doing it, but there are other people in Cleveland media, and I just think that is the epitome of cowardice.
And also, in all this, it doesn't have to be an either or. It really doesn't. You can have one feeling towards one quarterback and a completely separate feeling towards another, and I think that's what bothers me the most about this. And I voiced this yesterday a little bit, Nick, the idea that so many people think that I'm just such a pro Shador guy that the disdain I have for Deshaun is because of my pro Shador nature. It could not be further. Yeah. I like Shador Sanders a lot because I like Shador Sanders a lot. I also dislike Deshaun Watson because I've had to be on the radio talking to you guys for 4 years, day in, day out, and dealing with the repercussions of the worst trade in NFL history. Those two things can live separately.
So you excited to see him tomorrow?
I'm excited to see Shador.
Oh, that was not the him I was talking about.
I'm not excited, really. I will never be excited to see Deshaun Watson on a field. I can't envision a world that exists where I think, wow, this is great. Happy to have this experience in my life again. No.
You and I were both mocked when we said, yeah, we'll take Geno Smith here to battle Shador. We were mocked. I mean, I know the Kyler thing was because we didn't have a chance at Kyler, but we went through a myriad of names.
Yeah.
Not a lot of which, by the way, actually cost a lot of assets or money.
Mm-hmm.
And so you never really had to do the Deshaun versus Shador thing. And so I think what's going to be interesting is, again, I know there are people who happen to also work for the Cleveland Browns who think Deshaun won't be booed out of the building tomorrow. I think at least 10%, which whatever the amount of people that cheered his injury two seasons ago, I'm going to say you're going to hear those folks, assuming that they're at the game on Saturday.
Nick, I am not a stand-up-and-boo type guy. That is not historically who I, when I go to games, I don't really cheer that loud. I don't really boo that loud. That's just not who I, that's not in my nature when I go to sporting events, okay? Some people got it in them. I yell on the radio. I don't yell in at the stadium, okay? I would stand up and boo Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I'd be right to do so. Again, this is all about what you've had to go through in the previous 4 years. And I'll add on this. It's not just that you went through 8 wins in the previous two seasons because of the worst trade in NFL history. It's also the winning that we could have had in that stretch. It's what could have happened and the fun we could have had that was robbed because you gambled on a person that was mentally cooked and then turned out to be very injured and delivered nothing on any of the promises the Browns tried to make on his behalf.
So what I think people get most wrong when they hear me specifically talk about Deshaun is, to me, it's not about Deshaun. This is about the hubris of the Cleveland Browns. And if that includes Todd Monken or not, after there is no other organization, including the Baltimore Ravens, where Todd just came from, including anywhere in the NFL, not named maybe the New York Jets, not somebody I really want to be compared to, that would throw Deshaun out there on the field week one ever again. And so it's interesting. Like, I think it's Todd Monken. You think it's the ownership and Andrew Berry. To me, whomever it is, actually, no. To me, it is an organizational failure that he'll be starting week one. That isn't about Deshaun. I'm not really blaming Deshaun. The only thing Deshaun could have done to avoid this is offer some sort of a give back scenario financially, which would be fiduciarily stupid. And I don't expect him to do that because he probably will never get paid a significant amount of money again to play football.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even about Deshaun for me anymore. It's about an organization that consistently takes from incredible fans in this town and consistently returns it with things like this. Bad football is one thing. We're going to be the most analytically sound team in the NFL. We'd prefer you're just sound at football, but okay. Like there's a lot of stuff that is just kind of like, yeah, that's kind of part and parcel with not being good at figuring out what wins and what doesn't in this town. In football. The Deshaun thing, again, it stops being about Deshaun for me. That's why I couldn't boo him. Because it's not about Deshaun for me. It's about
booing
them.
Everything that he represents. And maybe that needs to take a bigger picture on it.
How do you clarify that at the stadium?
Well, it's the only chance you get is the point.
Boo! It's the circumstances, Shador, not you.
Isn't that obvious, though? It's the only chance you get. I understand what you're saying. It's not Deshaun's fault that a team was dumb enough to give him $230 million. And it's also not Deshaun's fault that a team is, for some unknown reason, after showing that he's way too injured, keeps giving him these chances. It's not his fault. If I were him, I would keep going out there and trying to play and extend my career if I could as well. I understand all that. Doesn't mean I have to accept it. Doesn't mean I have to like it. And it certainly doesn't mean I have to stand up and cheer when he makes a good play or even enters the game. And also, I'm making the suggestion. I'm standing up and booing. I'm not sending him death threats. I'm not personally attacking him. It's standing up and booing. That's not the biggest insult you could possibly give to somebody, because there's a lot worse that I could think of.
That actually is really funny how we've turned booing into a hateful thing.
It's boo. Like, okay.
And anybody that's worked at this station has gone to games where things have been said from the crowd where it's like, well, that person should be kicked out of here. That's a low class move. But booing is not low class.
I just never thought of it as low class. I always think of booing as like booing or cheering. That's when you pay to get in the stadium. That's your right. That's what you get to do.
You know, that's why I have the theory we should boo each other more. Like, I will boo somebody. When somebody takes 15 items into a 12 items or less line, I have booed them. All right? It's better than flipping them the bird. It's better than saying, hey, Jamoke, catch these hands or meet me in Temecula.
It's somewhat classier, I would say.
Well, especially if you kind of do it in like a, you know, like a bourgeoisie way, like a boo. Right? You don't have to be demonstrative.
I should have got booed today. Let me tell you a quick story here.
Boo!
Sorry. Yeah, you see, and I felt fine. That was fine. I did something wrong.
You've recovered.
I got booed. I was backing out of my driveway, and I had my trash cans at the end, because today is trash day. And so, like, I'm, like, very focused on making sure that I when I back out, I'm going, like, 3 miles per hour, okay? But I'm really trying to make sure I get in between the trash can line. And so I'm going, and then I look over to my right, and I see that that's clear. I just did not look to my left at all.
Ooh.
It's my neighborhood. I live in a cul-de-sac neighborhood. No one's usually even walking at all. Whatever. I'm going 3 miles per hour, okay? Mm. And obviously then, you know where this is going. This guy then, as I make it close to my trash cans, bangs on the front of my car.
Oh.
And goes, hey, look where you're going! And I was like, I'm going 3 miles per hour. Like, you just wanted to yell at me. I said sorry instantly, because I'm non-confrontational like that. I'm like, sorry, my bad. I genuinely did not see him at all. But it was like, I'm going 3 miles per hour. If I hit you, nothing would have happened. But if you would have turned around and booed me, that would have been appropriate. I would have been like, you're right, I deserve to be booed there.
Shouting,
I did not look both ways.
Watch where you're going. I would instantly do what you did.
On the front.
Smacking the hood of my Ram truck would send me into a real state that would immediately, I would need to check myself before I wrecked myself and somebody else.
As if I was going so fast, he couldn't possibly avoid it, what was coming as he was casually walking.
I was going
3 miles per hour. And exactly what happened is how it should have happened. You were able to avoid the car.
Next time, you should go 6 miles an hour. Show him who's boss.
Yeah.
Don't let your neighbors push you around. 216-474-0092. And Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I bet that guy was a Deshaun Watson fan. 2:40, we got quick hits. 3 o'clock, Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman. 4 o'clock, Steve Tasker, former Bills All-Pro host of One Bills Live on WGR 550 in Buffalo. We'll talk the Bills side of preseason game numero dos, and the lead coming up at 5 o'clock. But it is NFL Friday. It is a football Friday. It is a Friday in August that should be celebrated, because very soon it becomes autumn, and then we know where it goes from there. But as we get started, 216-474-0092. If you are one of the fortunate souls going to the Browns game tomorrow, are you going there more to cheer Shador or boo Deshaun? And I will allow, I'm opening up another half of this conversation. Boo Shador or cheer Deshaun? If you got some onions on you, call in and tell us how you're going to cheer Shador. Sorry, I meant Deshaun. I butchered the joke, but that's okay. We got 5 more hours here. More on that and pressure on Deshaun Watson in 5 minutes on 92.
my golly. It came and it went and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Joint practice. Another team. Different colors on the football field in Berea. And now the day off for the Browns as they get ready to take on the Buffalo Bills tomorrow at Huntington Bank Field. Welcome to Baskin and Phelps, everybody. Jeff Phelps, Dan Menigan, Riley Tina, answering the phones at 216-474-0092. Bills and Browns, and we'll see them tomorrow. But the word was, go out. Hopefully your first teamers get enough action that everything works out just great, and you're good to go. And we'll find out if they're going to play tomorrow or not. And Dano, right now, that still seems to be a little up in the air. Although Todd kind of insinuated, yeah, our older guys, maybe not. Our younger guys, yes.
It sounded like the offense is going to be out there. Maybe not as much the offensive line, the first team offensive line. But I think you're going to see Casey Concepcion. You're going to see Denzel Boston. You're going to see probably Dylan Sampson. You're going to see Harold Fan. Like, it sounds like all the young guys are going to be out there. And because this team is so young, you're going to see your stars.
Well, I wonder what they'll do on the offensive line. There are young guys there. There are veterans there. We'll see what Todd Monken decides to do. All I know is that Todd seemed giddy about what was going on yesterday. And Dan, you were out there. You saw what was going on the football field. The one thing that Todd said that stuck with me was, and I was surprised that he said it because I don't know that he should have said it. It looks like we belong. It's like, well, yeah, you're an NFL football team. You're supposed to belong, right? I was a little surprised that he actually kind of put that into words.
It feels like I was with you. That one took me aback.
Yeah, it was like, dude, you're in the NFL.
Right, you're in the NFL. It's all the same teams. I don't know if maybe it was a slip. Like, maybe he is...
Like,
you know,
he's thinking, holy crap, look, we look like a team.
He's acknowledging that, like, he's seeing what we're seeing, and especially out of the quarterback position. That maybe that might have been the slip that's like, wow, even with these guys...
Maybe.
We're not totally on it.
He kind of made it sound
Ladies
like...
Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Baskin.
Sorry. Hey, if you're on 480 today, take it easy. There's a big accident between 271 and 77 if you're heading westbound. I thought it was interesting because I was trying to digest that based on... It's almost like they didn't play preseason game number one, right? And then the other part of it was he said, you know, I was on one field. So maybe what he saw on one field wasn't going on the other field? Is that possible?
He was only watching the offense.
Okay.
He did not see what the defense was doing. He had a check.
Does that make it worse?
In Rudy, I trust. The Todd Monken slogan. In Rudy, I trust.
Right? Does that change anything? That he was only watching one field yesterday?
I mean, it was the field we have the most concerns about. So. Yeah,
well, he's got a defensive coordinator he trusts.
Yeah, the other question is now what are we looking at tomorrow, right? Like, what are they playing for tomorrow? What's the goal of tomorrow? Did he feel like his first team got enough work in yesterday that we don't need to see the first team tomorrow?
Well, that's what he said, that I will probably not the older guys, but the younger guys.
So... It does sound like there were some good things that were going on there yesterday, but by the same token, I'm watching these highlights yesterday, and I'm like hearing all these fans yelling and hooting and hollering on the sidelines. I'm like, I thought this thing was closed, so I'm assuming that it was like private only, kind of was allowed to watch yesterday's workout. And then you see across the league again, like all these fights in these joint practices, and then you wonder. Where are we getting out of this? What are we doing? Where are we going with this thing? And where is this going to take us tomorrow?
That's the big question about tomorrow. You know, who knows what they're going to do? Who knows how it's going to play out? You know, who knows what they decide to do? What we do know is this. He watched yesterday, and anytime he was asked about the quarterbacks, he said, well, I saw what I saw, but I have to watch the tape, and there's more to go here. And more to go is Shador playing tomorrow in the first half, and then Deshaun, in theory, playing the third quarter, and maybe into the fourth quarter.
Not theory. Monken said it yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Deshaun Watson's playing the third quarter.
I know he said it. But let's see it on the football field.
I thought Deshaun had a pretty
good... It's all got to be fair.
Deshaun had a pretty good attitude about it, too, earlier in the week about, you know, hey, I just give me a chance. I'll work with the young guys. I'll work with the older guys. I don't care. I'm going to, I just want to get my work in. I'm still wondering, and maybe I just have my fingers crossed, that if Deshaun is a starting quarterback, that if every play doesn't look perfect, a little bit of it is because he hasn't played in 2 years. I don't think we're ever going to see the Deshaun Watson they traded for. I just don't think that's happening, and he's only got 1 year to pull that off anyway. And even if he did, what does that mean for the long term? I don't know that that's there. I just, this quarterback race doesn't feel good. You start reading stuff from around the league, too, that, you know, like, how can the Browns do anything? They really don't have a quarterback. They're in the, you know, tough AFC North. They do have an easy schedule, but I just don't know how they're going to overcome the problems of the quarterback. You know, because I feel like we're going to get bits and pieces of good offense, but it's not enough to win games.
Well,
and I think part of that is because I think we do have some talented guys around him, right? Wide receivers, tight ends.
Am I allowed to say this?
Sure.
Until we see it on the field in the regular season, I think everybody should. And you know, I'm not crazy about the quarterback positions on this team. I've said that from way before they got on the field and everything else. I would have done something else. But this is what they've given us. Until we see them not succeed on the field, I think it's almost irresponsible for national people to sit here and say, well, they're going to be terrible and blah, 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 blah. And they don't have a guy who can play quarterback and blah, 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 blah. I tend to agree. But until we see it on the field, I mean, don't they actually deserve the chance?
Yeah, I think
to put it on the field and let's see what it looks like. Andy, I don't like it. You don't like it. Dan doesn't like it. I think most people don't like it. You know, Deshaun hasn't been good since he was in Houston before he sat out for a year. Shadur has not been good at this level yet. Dylan's not been good at this level yet. Taylen Green's a sixth-round pick who's not even getting reps. I mean, it wouldn't appear that they have a guy who you think, yep, there we go. But until we see it not work on the field, and I don't just mean the quarterback, I mean the entire offense. I mean, if Dylan Sampson can do what he did yesterday in practice, if Quinshon comes back and he's good to go, if Concepcion and Boston turn good training camps into good young years in their career, all you need is competent quarterback play. Somebody get him out of the huddle. Somebody get him to the line. Somebody run the play. And somebody put the ball in the vicinity of where it's supposed to be.
You know, it's funny you talk about nationally the way they're talking about the team. And I trust me, I don't read the Wall Street Journal every day, and I don't read the Wall Street Journal for sports.
I'm Andy Baskin. I read the Wall Street Journal.
But a buddy of mine sent me the headline.
How about that?
I don't know if you guys saw this or not. This is the Wall Street Journal, right? Like, okay, well I don't know. But the headline
looks
is...
like Standard Oil's up.
They had a story. Yeah, it's coming back. it's funny. I stopped at Sohio this morning,
how'd
too.
How'd that go?
Gary Berghoff.
Did you get some boron?
No, yeah, Gary Berghoff was pumping gas. It was really weird. The headline on Wall Street Journal was the NFL's rock bottom quarterback competition, and it's a picture of Deshaun and Shadur standing there, and it looks goofy because they both have GoPros attached to their helmet, and they're just the two of them standing there.
Yeah,
and then the sub headline is the Cleveland Browns face an uninspiring choice between two of the most flawed signal callers in the league. Second-year quarterback Shadur Sanders, and then the often injured and largely ineffective Deshaun Watson. And then within the story, it says they go that they said they might not start for any other team in the NFL.
Jeff Thomas had his update right before the start of our show, and I looked at Menigan after Jeff said that Kubiak in Vegas said, yep, my quarterback competition's still going on. I'm not naming a guy yet. We got another week to go. And I looked at Dan and I said, and they have two viable options.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins and Fernando Mendoza. I'd take either one of those guys here right now. That's not who we have.
No.
So until our guys go out there and look miserable, let's not say it can't be done. I'm real open-minded about it. I don't like it. You don't like it.
Here's the other interesting
part. Todd seems to be okay with it because, boy, he's talking him up. Which he's supposed to do, I guess.
The other thing that's odd is, like, let's say you know who your quarterback is because they proved it, obviously, during the regular season, or they proved it during the playoffs. But how often do we go through these preseasons and we're like, oh, are we actually going to play our starting quarterback? Like when Baker was on a run there, right? And he started for a couple of years. You're like, why would you even play Baker in this game on Saturday? Why would you even play Baker against New England? Why, you know? And then you think about the opposite side of what preseason is. And I think, like, big picture, that if we're sitting here and we're worried about what's going on with the preseason, something's really, really wrong. It is. We're not talking about a rookie quarterback, truthfully. This is a second-year guy now with Shador. We're not talking about a rookie quarterback trying to bounce a veteran that knows how to play the game and has been, you know, a winner for the last 2 years. That's not where we're at. And so you have that, and then you add in two first-round draft picks for next year, and you have to question whether we're sitting here. The things that we worry about are preseason quarterback and the draft. These are not positive signs towards a regular season. And you got to hope that they come out and win a couple games and it changes everybody's mind. They have the power to change everybody's mind, like you're saying. Jeff, give them a little bit of a chance.
Well, they do.
I will. Yeah, I mean, we will, because we're in it. We're fans. It doesn't really matter. We're going to be fans whether they're, you know, they win every game, which never happens, or lose every game, which happens more often than we want.
And changing minds doesn't happen in preseason game number two.
No, it doesn't.
Despite what we're going to see tomorrow. Menigan was at the joint practice yesterday. I got a text about two tall quarterbacks. We'll hear all about that. We're going to hear some of the comments from Todd Monken. It's a 2-Chris day, 11:20. Chris Easterling, who covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal, will join us. And then at noon, Chris Fedor will talk Cavs and the big trade for Peyton Watson. It's Baskin and Phelps, Menigan, right here on The Fan.
What C.J. Gardner-Johnson was saying about Shador Sanders, and I don't care for it. Did you hear?
I did.
Now, Daniel Yafusi had said that a player in the secondary was calling Shador the checkdown king. Are we sure it is C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Because it's been widely reported that it was him. And it makes sense. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is one of the greatest bleep talkers of this generation. He is known to run his mouth a lot. So if it were him, I think anybody in the secondary. Hear me out on this, all right? Because this is going to go, oh, Ken's back to soft-ass Ken with Shador. And here, no, hold on here. Because there was something that was said on the afternoon show that I texted Owen, and Lima was so excited. Lima was so excited that I said what I said, because, like, we got to stop with this soft-ass excuse-making crap and conspiracy theory, and I already know that I'm going to lose my mind later. I don't want to do that now. Okay? But when C.J. Gardner-Johnson or anybody in the secondary is sitting there telling him, check down king, check down king, to me, I mean, if we're talking about Shador starting so far behind, you're doing checkdowns. What, am I going to rip you for making the right decision? If it ain't there, it ain't there. Take what the defense gives you. Because when I hear checkdown king, and yeah, like, if you want to be a franchise quarterback, eventually you're going to have to put it on a defense. You got to keep them honest, and you got to be a threat. But when you're coming up in your NFL career and you're checking down, I'd rather you check down and get me 6 yards and make it second and four instead of getting picked off and flipping the field and turning things over and giving us a problem because your ego makes you go big fly because you're hearing it from the other team. That's something that we can't subscribe. So I know that I saw the internet yesterday when I got home from football practice. I know a lot of people are making fun, and the AI images are coming out, which, boy, we're just going to bleed our water supply so we can put fake crowns on Shador Sanders so we can get our likes and retweets off, but whatever. We're all calling him check down king. Everybody's having fun, and I'm going, hey, man, he's just starting out. I know he's in his second year, but he's just starting out with this group. If he's checking down, I'm not going to sit there. I'm not going to make fun of him for checking down as a young guy.
That's,
you're making the right decision. So now, I think it's silly.
Now, was it any different yesterday? Was like Shador afraid to make mistakes yesterday as opposed to practice where he's the one throwing the ball down the field more?
He doesn't
throw a
lot.
And in the preseason game, he threw the ball down the field.
He hasn't thrown nearly as many picks as Deshaun anyway in training camp.
Yeah, now I've had people explain that and said early on in practice he was afraid to kind of get rid of the football because of the tracker. Like that he didn't want to have the interceptions on
you gotta
his,
be effing kidding me.
Well, this is what the trackers and the constant the fan bases that
if he's
look
worried
at those,
about the tracker, then just forget it.
I'm not saying there are people that think anytime that the interceptions are being used against one, the other, then the other's not gonna want to throw interceptions, so they're gonna hold the ball. But that hasn't been Shador. Shador has thrown the ball. So was it just yesterday? Was it a little bit different? Was it more yesterday he was more conservative?
Hold on here. Why do we think Deshaun Watson's going to win the job? You're sipping coffee. I put you in a bad spot. Go ahead.
Most of it was just that he, given his 10 years experience in the NFL, that he was going to be able to take the ball and run with it from a new head coach and all of that.
That's not really what I was asking
And operationally.
That's the answer I wanted right there. Sorry for screaming into everybody's radio right there. That's the answer I wanted. Because you're trying to not play stupid football. You're trying to be as smart as you can. It is a smart decision to not try to force passes with rookie wide receivers, with guys that you still don't have a great relationship with. I mean, as far as knowing where they're going to go and knowing what they like and you can be told and things like that. You still don't know necessarily. So again, on 1st and 10, I'll take 2nd and 4 or 2nd and 6 even instead of pick 6 30 yards the other way. I'll take 2nd and 4 over terrible interception that our defense has to go right back out there after we've given up a touchdown drive. Like, that's what I will trade that off for. And eventually, like, yeah, you're going to have to take risks, take chances, but that comes with a relationship with your wide receivers. So if we're giving credit to Deshaun Watson for operations, getting them in and out of the huddle, knowing snap counts, being able to line guys up, et cetera, et cetera, then I think I go back to Shador Sanders. Why would I rip him for being quote-unquote check-down king?
No,
and also,
you
consider the source of this, because it's also C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Again, he's a tremendous trash talker. And what's he going to do? He's going to try to bait a young quarterback into doing something silly. That's part of the game.
Now, the part that's missing, the missing information in all of this is we don't know what work they wanted to get in, right? Like, you're right. If it depends what part of the practice it was. Was it full 11-on-11 game simulation? Or was it, hey, we're working at this part of the field and we're going
to
run this 5 times?
To me, it
like,
doesn't.
And then we don't know, did Todd Monken say, hey, let it fly. We got to let it fly. We want to test them. Or we don't know that. I think that's kind of valuable information in a discussion like this.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to help him practice smart decisions because he throws a nice deep ball and he's had a couple of nice deep passes and deep touchdowns.
Yeah,
but what did we say last year? Is that an offense?
No.
Because they still had one of the worst. Was it the worst offense or one of the worst offenses in the NFL? One of the two, it's still really bad. That's not an offense. Putting the ball down the field 6, 8, 10 yards at a time, that's conducting an offense. I'm dead serious, guys. In a game scenario, give me 8 to 12 plays in a drive that end with a touchdown instead of a big play that just gets everybody going, because you know what that's going to do? That's going to protect my defense. Okay, that's going to keep a defense honest that I'm playing against, and it's going to protect my defense, help my defense out, that they cannot have to just get right back up after 3 downs and have to march back out there and try to win a game like they had to do all last year. So if we're checking down, quote-unquote, then we're still keeping them honest to open up routes for Quinshon Judkins, for Dylan Sampson, running lanes for them. I'm still keeping things open for my tight end. I'm still keeping things open with my tight end where if I'm chucking down, dumping off to my tight end, I'm eventually going to find some soft coverage there to be able to hit KC Concepcion, to be able to hit Denzel Boston. You know, this is, we can't just sit here and play on egos. I know we're radio guys, so we're wild men, but I can't just sit there and buy into egotistical plays every single time. There has to be some rhythm and some rhyme here, something that makes sense. And there's plenty of things in this training camp that Shedeur Sanders has done wrong. Checking down and making the right decision is not one of them. Is not one of them. So we can all have our online stuff going on, but I'm not going to do that. I will go after him for something else later on today. And it's basically because of what I heard on Afternoon Drive that sent me right up the wall yesterday. But in this case, no. Why am I going to rip him for making a smart decision? When the whole point of why we're about 90%+ sure that Deshaun Watson's going to win this job, and you and I are the only ones we're screaming in everybody's face going, you know, the money's already spent. They're trying to build a new stadium, so why are they going to try to upset you? I mean, I have people calling in saying they're going to drive in from Timbuktu to Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon to cuss this guy out on Saturday, but they want to play him to upset you. No, the reason he's going to get the job is operationally, okay? And eventually, Shedeur Sanders is going to get the job, and he'll probably play more than Deshaun Watson this year. I think we're an official show stance on that. And I want him to make the smart decision.
No, but we did say there was a lot riding on that joint practice yesterday, that he was going to have to perform magnificently
and in
to
my
get a
eyes,
shot. Now, if he was just dumping the ball off, that probably wasn't going to be enough.
I understand that. But in my eyes, and probably in Todd Monken's eyes, it was better. Listen, I know you throw a good deep ball. That's not...
When he can get the spiral down, yeah.
I disagree. You feel good about that? You feel good about that you got that off?
Yeah, when he gets it down, it's a great ball.
Now, what are you doing in there? Don't encourage this.
When he gets his hands on the laces the right way, I saw people were picking apart his form from some of the ducks that he was throwing earlier. Preseason game, he wasn't throwing ducks.
I'm just trying to make it
the ones that got past the line of scrimmage.
I'm just trying to make it through
the
season.
The ones that didn't get batted down.
I'm just trying to make it. Are you going to say that? Are you going to have the same type of energy when we talk these college quarterbacks coming up here in a couple
of
weeks?
Of course.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
We're going to put them under the microscope.
I just want to make sure you're going to be nasty to them too. So as I was saying,
I'm not the one who complained about him drifting. That was Monken. Monken was the one who complained, not me.
And he was right to do that. So if he makes
pass to me,
if he's the whole,
I thought Monken was being too hard on him.
Okay, for the love of God, take the gloves off for a second here. Do we think either of these quarterbacks are going to be here next year?
Talen Green?
Do we think either Deshaun Watson or Shedeur Sanders are going to be here next year?
I mean, that touchdown to Tylan Wallace.
Do you think that Deshaun Watson or Shedeur Sanders are going to be here?
Touchdown might be my quarterback.
F it, I don't care.
Talen Green, do you want to right now? I mean, put your money where your mouth is. Talen Green, future Browns quarterback.
Future? Like, if you mean he's going to play in December, I'm with you, but I'm not saying future. I mean, I love, he's a nice young man. I love him, but
Owen said week 18.
I told him to buy. You call the young team. You'll be here in
Might
December.
Might we see him sooner?
Why not? Can I get to my point here?
Are the Shedeur fans going to be okay
not gonna let me.
He is in there or Watson's in there and they get yanked off the field in the red zone so Talen Green can come in and dazzle? Are they going to be mad like they were last year?
Well, 216-471.
That guy looks like a red zone weapon extraordinaire.
If I can just say this real quick we'll hit the break, is that you don't think either of these QBs are going to be here next year. You want to take your pot shots and play your duck hunt clips and have all that for you. That's fine. I'm trying to be a serious football man here for a second, even though I'm starting to smile because of the clips that are being played.
Looks like we're out of time, Kenny.
I'm getting this off when we come back. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to get this off my chest. And also, Lima has something to get off his chest about a Hall of Famer, for crying out loud. I cannot believe the reactions I was seeing to this yesterday. About a Hall of Famer that has decided to stay here and finish his career in Cleveland. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, Sal Capaccio from WGR 550, Bills reporter there. He was at practice yesterday. Want to see an outsider's perspective on this Browns football team. That's coming up at 7:20 on the...
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on...
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Odyssey celebrates back to school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 1H 2026.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.